Well, good afternoon, everyone here in Bad Homburg and out on the web and on the phone. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our 2011 results meeting. With us today is Mark Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, Stefan Sturm, CFO, Ben Lips, CEO of Fresenius Medical Care, Rhys Powell, Deputy Chairman, Fresenius Medical Care and CEO, Fresenius Medical Care North America, Mike Brosnan, CFO, and Oliver Meyer, Head of IR. Before we get started, I'd just like to remind you of the forward-looking statement disclosure. You will find that in the presentation on page 2. And this cautionary language also applies to the speeches and the Q&A session of today. And this conference, as always, is recorded. We are going to start with the presentations of Fresenius, and Mark Schneider will give you a general overview, followed by Stefan Sturm. He will focus on the financials. And, well, we have a break at about 3, and we start the meeting at 3:15 with the Fresenius Medical Care presentations, and end of conference is scheduled for 4:45. And with that, let me hand it over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our analyst meeting participants here today and also out on the web. As always, we appreciate your interest in our firm. We're pleased with the financial results for the year 2011 and looking forward to presenting those to you. And Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor statement to you, so let's move right into the summary key headers here for 2011. It's been a very successful year for the group with an excellent set of results for sales and earnings. This comes on top of the very successful year 2010. We achieved 18% net income growth in constant currency in 2011. And again, let me remind you, this builds on a 23% constant currency net income growth for the year 2010. So I guess in aggregate, these 2 years were an extraordinarily successful period when it comes to net income development. With that, we also significantly overshot our initial guidance that called for an 8 to 12% constant currency increase in net income. I was also pleased to see that we had fairly uniform EBIT margin improvements across the board in all business segments. This in a year that did pose some challenges. Just think about Vamed and, for example, the crisis in the Middle East and North Africa. And when it comes to EBIT margin improvement, I think two segments stand out. One is Fresenius Medical Care, and this is a direct result of the introduction of the bundle in North America, and the other one being Helios, where we've seen stronger than anticipated EBIT margin improvements in 2011. I will show you later that it was a successful year when it comes to our long-term goal of achieving a greater degree of portfolio diversification. So when it comes to sales and earnings contributions, I think it's a yet more stable situation now based on 2011 numbers compared to 2010 and prior years. In addition to that, I think we also had successful M&A activity, which I think strengthened in particular our dialysis business and our hospital business, and also I think paves the way for future growth now in 2010 and beyond, in 2012 and beyond. Here's the 5-year summary on sales, EBIT, and net income, and also the constant currency growth numbers and euro numbers for the year 2011. So we achieved 6% constant currency growth in 2011 to 16,522,000,000 euros, 9% constant currency growth to 2,563,000,000 euros for EBIT, and 770,000,000 euros for net income, which is 18%, as mentioned, in constant currency. I think this caps another very successful 5-year period, which saw CAGRs for sales at 10%, for EBIT at 12%, and net income at 17%. As mentioned before, we've seen fairly uniform, successful business results across the full spectrum of our activities. So basically no negative growth rates when it comes to sales and EBIT across the board. And again, in most years, that's a given for us, but I think given some of the particular challenges of 2011, So, for example, the introduction of the bundled reimbursement, which, as you know, came with some top-line reductions, or the crisis in Middle East, North Africa, that posed a challenge to Vamed, that was not a given, that was not automatic, and yet we came out with positive growth rates in sales for all four business segments, and then I think a very successful EBIT growth in all four segments as well. The strongest EBIT growth was posted by Helios with 15%. This simply as a result of our unplanned 80 basis point EBIT margin improvement that really came in significantly stronger than expected. I was saying earlier that 2011 was another good year for achieving greater portfolio diversification, both on sales and earnings. So what I presented here on page 6 for you is the sales development and net income development from 2004 through 2011, and basically separating between the businesses excluding Fresenius Medical Care and then the share of either sales or net income that comes from Fresenius Medical Care. And as you can see, we're now getting 45% of our sales from the business outside of Fresenius Medical Care. That's up from 43% last year in 2010, and significantly up from the number you're seeing here for 2004, which was 31%. When it comes to net income, the degree of diversification we achieved is even greater. We came in at 67% of net income from outside of Fresenius Medical Care. That's up 7 percentage points from 2010, where that number was 60%, and of course significantly up from 2004, where we only got 29% of net income from outside of Fresenius Medical Care. Mind you, 2011 was also the very first year where on a same currency basis in euros, Fresenius ESE posted the same net income as Fresenius Medical Care, and that's 770 million euros. Back in 2004, the net income for the group was about half the level for Fresenius Medical Care. Based on these results for 2011, we're pleased to propose the 19th consecutive annual dividend increase to our board and then in May to our shareholders. We're proposing a 10% increase to 95 euro cents per share. And the graph on the right-hand side shows you that while our dividend payout ratio may not be leading for the DAX, I think we are finding on a long-term basis very attractive opportunities to invest that money on behalf of our shareholders. So when you look at our share price development and dividend income, so total return kind of picture, on a 10-year basis, we're achieving a 12.2% return for our shareholders, and that compares to 1.4% for the DAX for that same period. I would now like to talk in greater detail about Kabi, Helios, and Vamed, and then also share with you some midterm strategic thoughts before handing it over to Stefan. Before I do that, a brief comment on Fresenius Medical Care. Very pleased with the results for 2011. I think we're seeing significant acquisition steps in North America and international, good organic development, and most of all, I think the company handled the transition to the bundle, which was the most significant reimbursement change in this industry in 30 years, really well. So we're quite pleased with this, and I think the company enters now 2012 with lots of momentum, and so we're very pleased with what we're seeing. Kabi had also a very successful year in 2011. As you think back to last year, this was not a given. We were quite cautious about the year initially because we were coming out of a 2010 that saw some pretty significant unusual upsides, in particular the propofol situation, as you remember, where for vast parts of 2010, Kabi was the sole supplier in the North American market. As we then enter 2011, we saw that there were persistent drug shortages in the U.S. market. Those were more diffuse than the picture we've seen in 2010. They cover a larger number of products. Rarely did we see a situation where we were the sole supplier. But again, we did see some significant upsides from that situation because our manufacturing remained on stream. Our two large U.S. manufacturing sites continued to operate at near full capacity, And this way, we were actually able to help alleviate some of the effects of the drug shortage in the U.S. market. We also saw very strong sales development outside of the U.S. in our classic Kabi portfolio range. And this applies to the more mature markets in Europe and also to our emerging markets, in particular Asia-Pacific and China, as expected, came in as another very strong performer for 2011. So really across the board, quarter after quarter, we saw that our initial expectations were a little bit on the cautious side. All in all, then, we came in with 9% organic growth for the full year. We finished, as you can see here from the slide, with a strong 7% organic growth in Q4. So I think all throughout 2011, we were tracking above that initial estimate of about 5% organic growth that we had going into the year. Going forward, again, it's very hard to predict exactly where some of the drug shortages are going in the U.S. market. It's also very hard to predict exactly which turn some of the major emerging markets are taking. But I think, again, it does pay to look at 2012 with some initial caution for factors that are not under our control, and you will see that reflected in our guidance. But having said that, I think when it comes to some of the underpinnings, and that is solid manufacturing base in the U.S., strong emerging market coverage, and also a very strong market presence here in our mature European markets, I think all those positive underpinnings remain fully in place. Based on the strong EBIT margin for 2011, we have also then decided to slightly increase the top end of our midterm EBIT margin guidance. Before, we had the midterm EBIT margin guidance of 18 to 20%, and we're now raising that to 18 to 21%. We need the downside because, as you know, with such a large part of our sales coming from injectable generics, it is important for this more volatile industry segment to have some cushion. But I think you've seen us now tracking continuously in the 19 or 20% range. And I think this way, it's a more adequate guidance band for Kabi going forward. Turning to page 9, looking at the period 2009 through 2011, I think we've seen an excellent three-year period for our IV generics business. The three-year global CAGR was 18%. This is significantly above the growth rates that we had given you initially for that segment. It is the fastest growing product segment for Kabi, and we had talked to you about expecting low double-digit growth organically. We were coming into 18%, so significantly beating it in that period. What's often overlooked is that when it comes to this 1.4 billion euro book of business, 40% of that really happens outside of the U.S. Clearly, everyone paid a lot of attention to the U.S. market following our acquisition of APP Pharmaceuticals. But when it comes to our activities outside of the U.S., over the years, I think we've built up a very solid and resilient book of business, both organically and through small and mid-sized acquisitions that date back to the years 2004 and 2005. And by now, it's basically 40% of our total IV generics book of business of about 1.4 billion. As you can see, the growth rates are pretty much the same, so this is equally attractive. And on the right-hand side, we list to you basically the 9 largest international markets outside of the U.S. And as you can see, it's a good mix of some mature core European markets and also exciting overseas emerging markets. And that's exactly what I think Kabi is known for, a strong footprint that covers some of the core European mature markets and some of the real exciting red-hot emerging markets. With that, let me move over to Helios. Helios, as mentioned, has had an outstanding year when it comes to EBIT margin development. Clearly, that 80 basis point margin increase was stronger than anticipated. Our organic growth came in exactly inside that range that we had guided to you. Our guidance was 3 to 5% organic growth, 4% is smack in the middle. That 4% is about one-third case increases and about two-thirds mix and reimbursement per case. We've also seen, as you know, strong acquisition activity. The two landmark transactions were clearly the Duisburg Catholic Hospital, which by now has been closed and will be consolidated as of December 31st, 2011. And then, of course, the Dump Group. This transaction was announced in the fall, and we're expecting to close this at the end of Q1, early to Q this year. Based on this significant M&A activity, we're increasing our midterm revenue guidance for Helios. Initially, we had planned to achieve 3.5 billion euros of sales by the year 2015. We're now raising that to 4 to 4.25 billion euros in that same year. Please note that that increase is larger than simply the revenue that comes in as a result of the Dump acquisition. The Dump acquisition after the antitrust divestitures is, as you can see from the slide, 427 million euros. The increase here is north of 500 million euros, maxing out at 750 million euros if you go to the top end at 4.25 billion. Looking back at 2010 and 2011, I think it pays to give you a summary of the hospital privatization activity in Germany. It's important here that all we cover is either not-for-profit or government-owned hospitals. So the chart you're seeing here excludes the Dump acquisition. And you can see, first of all, that the story we gave you last year that there was a revival in the market is really supported by the data. 2010, we've seen a total sales volume that was privatized of about 230 million euros, and that increased to about 365 million euros in 2011. You can also see that in 2011, Helios was extremely successful in getting its share of that privatized revenue. It's about 50%, and that's, of course, much, much larger than Helios's market share among the private German operators. So I think when it comes to privatization activity, 2011 was an extraordinarily successful year for Helios. Looking at 2012, I think 2012 bodes very well as well. You're seeing that already by now there's greater than 400 million euros of hospital revenues that are either in the market or already have been awarded in this year so far. I would still say there's no privatization wave coming. All we're seeing is basically a return to some of the deal volumes we had seen in good years like 2005, 2006, and 2007. But nonetheless, I think going back 1 or 2 years when there was concerns whether there's going to be sufficient privatization activity going forward, I think those concerns have been addressed and people are confident now that the privatization story is alive and kicking. Moving over to Vamed. Vamed, I think, did have a very challenging year 2011. As you know from previous conference calls, Vamed does have a larger focus on the Middle East and North Africa than our other three business segments. And hence, when the Arab Spring was bringing trouble to those countries, Vamed was impacted. Keep in mind that in many of these markets, hospital business and healthcare services are quite strongly government influenced, and hence any political unrest clearly is bad news. Having said that, Vamed was still able to eke out positive growth on revenue, +3%, and on EBIT with +7%. As you recall, the company had initially guided sales and EBIT growth of 5 to 10%. We had reduced that in the fall to 0 to 5%. So basically, in sales growth, we were smack in the middle of that reduced guidance. And when it comes to EBIT growth, we actually did come in within the original guidance of 5 to 10%. Order intake in Q4 was particularly strong. A quarterly record of 269 million euros. So I guess building the order book bodes really well for 2012 and beyond. And then at the bottom, I also wanted to give you some multi-year comparisons here when it comes to organic sales growth and return on operating assets that really show that Vamed, with its low asset intensity and its focus on organic growth, does have a very attractive financial profile. So on a 5-year CAGR basis, it leads the group when it comes to organic growth, and it also leads the group when it comes to return on operating assets, and that's by a long stretch. Before handing it over to Stefan for the detailed financials and also the guidance for 2012, let me talk about our strategic posture, which I think for the year 2012 and beyond really bodes well. I think when you look at healthcare overall, that's frequently an industry that's cited as one that has particularly strong growth prospects, and I think there's little to disagree with. But even inside healthcare, there are certain subtrends that clearly grow stronger than others. And I think as you look at our portfolio and the four business segments we're in, I think we are ideally positioned to benefit from some of the faster growing trends inside of healthcare, and that's partially responsible for some of the outperformance you're seeing relative to other diversified healthcare companies when it comes to compound annual growth rates on sales or earnings. And so the four trends I would like to point out to are clearly the aging population, where the group at age 60 years and greater is going to more than double by the year 2050. A lot of that ties to the next item, which is emerging market growth, because a lot of that aging population happens in emerging markets. So being there early, I think, and building a strong presence clearly bodes well for future growth. And when you think about Fresenius Medical Care and Kabi and Vamed, I think this is exactly what we've done with our international businesses. You're also, as you know, with the year 2012, you're in the middle of the patent cliff. I think there's still a lot of upside for generics, not only as a result of patents running out, but also still there's a whole lot of mindset changes going on where doctors to this day are still prescribing brand name products where generics are available. So there are vast differences when you compare, for example, different European countries and their prescribing patterns. And I think there's lots of upside for doctors to still move over to available generic products. And then when you compare industrialized countries to some emerging markets, again, there's a vast difference in that the greater financial pressures in some of these emerging markets are forcing doctors to prescribe generics to a much larger degree. And hence, if you translate that sort of percentage to some of the industrial markets, in addition to the patents running out, I think the future for generics, in particular injectable generics, is extremely bright. And last but not least, I think there's a global trend towards private providers in healthcare services. And as you look at our spectrum here, I think across the board, we're part of that, certainly by providing and running private dialysis clinics. That was how we got our start in this. When it comes to Kabi at first sight looks more like a hardware company and a consumables company. But then when it comes to services such as compounding services for local hospitals, again, we're getting our share of available service business that's related to Kabi products. Helios, I think, is all about the transfer of hospital services from government hands or not-for-profit hands to private providers. And Vamed, of course, for those hospitals that will continue under different ownership, be it government ownership or not-for-profit ownership, Vamed also provides outsourcing activities that are then fulfilled by a private firm such as Vamed. So I think all in all four business segments really are focused on that trend and benefit from this trend, which will have lots of runway going forward. So I guess looking at 2011, strong set of actual numbers. Looking at 2012, quite an exciting outlook that Stefan will share with you in a great amount of detail in a minute. And then midterm and long-term, as you know, first of all, we're having some pretty challenging midterm targets by business segment and also for the corporation by 2014 with our greater than $1 billion net income goal. And then long-term, as a result of the strategic posture, I think we're well-positioned to have lots of growth opportunities even beyond the time period that's covered with our 2012 now midterm guidance. So with that, lots of optimism for 2012 and beyond, and I'll hand it over to Stefan for the details.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, good morning. Mark's right, great amount of detail. But before I share that with you, let me also lead you through my particular highlights of the year 2011. Here we go. No. There were quite a number of highlights that I could also refer to verbally. However, I'd have more fun if they were on the slide. Can someone maybe... Here we go. Okay, now I found it. Here are the highlights. After you had to wait for them for such a long time. 18% earnings growth. Mark already alluded to that. That comes on the back of 23%, and that shouldn't be misinterpreted as a slowdown. Look, relative to the 514 million euros of earnings after tax in 2009, we're up a cool 50% by the end of 2011. And 2009 was by no means a weak year. Number two, EBIT margin, up 40 basis points with positive contributions from all of our businesses. A double-digit cash flow margin, 10.2 across the board, despite the fact that we had a bit of an anomaly at Vamed that I will share with you a bit later on. We spent an aggregate 1.4 billion euros on strengthening our strategic position. But notwithstanding that, given our earnings growth, hardly an effect on our leverage, and we are at 2.8 times, if you adjust for currency, even at 2.7 times. And with that, bang in the middle of our target corridor. And fifthly, and maybe most importantly, we have by no means run out of steam. As Mark just mentioned, we enter 2012 full of confidence, and we see quite substantial opportunities for further growth. With that, let me hopefully push the right button and, get you into the details of the P&L. We finished the year with 6% constant currency growth, a strong finish to the year with 7% in the fourth quarter, as you can see, and quite meaningful pickup in organic growth in the fourth quarter. As far as organic growth is concerned, that came in at a solid 5%, and that was a very meaningful contribution, again, from all of our businesses, maybe with also a positive surprise coming from Kabi with 7% over a very strong base, Q4 of 2020. EBITDA margin slightly up. All the other businesses making up for a bit of a margin decrease at Fresenius Kabi in North America. Our depreciation slightly higher than usual, 4.3%. That is a reflection of some one-time effects, in particular at Helios, where we had some write-downs on the clinics that we have either closed or are about to close. Incidentally, for 2012, I would expect us to be back to the 4% flat range. Corporate EBIT, I already alluded to the overall EBIT margin. Corporate EBIT came in at 45 million euros. That contained a few one-timers in Q4, and therefore I would expect us to be better than that in 2012. Now, over to interest, where we in the single quarter had 130 million. That's 5 million up from Q3. Those 5 million are basically entirely the effect of a strengthened US dollar in the fourth quarter. Now, going forward into 2012, if you take the 130 as a basis and adjust that for further currency movements, if you strip out a little bit of one-timers that we had in the fourth quarter and also annualize it, if you then add to that the effect of, in particular, the Helios acquisitions, then you would get to an approximate range of 320 million euros for the group, excluding FMC. Mike, in his presentation later on, is going to guide you to approximately $440 million for FMC. And if you take that together in the current foreign exchange regime, that's going to lead you to approximately 650 million euros for the group in 2012. Now, on taxes, no big surprise in the fourth quarter. Tax rate was 30.7%. We continue to work on our tax rate. We also do expect a few positive one-timers in 2012, and therefore my best guess at this point is a tax rate of approximately 30%. Q4 net income came in at 205 million. That's up 22% over Q4 of last year, and that then led us to the 18% at constant currency, 17% reported growth. So far for the group P&L, again, right button, Fresenius Kabi and there the EBIT margin. And as you can see, if we start from the bottom, we ended the year at an EBIT margin of 20.3%. And given that we were able to grow our EBIT at 9% for the first time, Kabi surpassed the 800 million euro level as far as absolute EBIT is concerned. We saw, if we go into the regions, a very nice margin pickup in Europe, also quarter over quarter, and that then concluded the year at 21.1%. And the very same is true for the emerging markets, where with 20.4%, the gap to the European markets is really down to 70 basis points. For the North American market, as you can see, Q4 saw a margin decrease, and we came in at 32.4%. I think the key drivers were a further normalization of the propofol market, with us having losing a bit of market share. It is the end game as far as gemcitabine is concerned, with a further normalization of market shares and also prices. We also had some one-timers in our Q4 P&L at Kabi North America, in particular as far as inventory revaluation is concerned. Going forward, what I do assume is that we're going to see a bit of a pickup in Europe and also in the emerging markets, but by no means do expect that the emerging markets margin is going to trend up at the same pace that we have seen over the course of 2011. For North America, my expectation for the full year 2012 is a margin that is below full year 2011. However, on the other hand, also above where we were in the fourth quarter. So somewhere between that 32 and 37% points. I will give you a bit more detail about the underlying assumptions towards the end of my presentation. Bear with me. Over to Helios, where we also had a very strong fourth quarter, 715 million euros, and that represents 3% organic growth over a very strong comp in the last quarter of 2010. And with that, that took the full year to 6% reported growth, 4% of that is organic, as Mark mentioned, bang in the middle of our 3 to 5% guidance. We saw the sequential EBIT growth that I had alluded to when I commented on the Q3 results, 72 million euros of EBIT in Q3, 75 now in Q4, the resulting margin 10.5%, so very comfortably into the double digits. And with the 75 million, we reached the 270 million euros of EBIT for the full year, which is the top end of our guidance, and also over the entire hospital portfolio, an EBIT margin of 10.1%. And so that came despite 6 million euros of negative EBIT contribution of the newly acquired hospitals over the course of 2011, and it is there primarily the Schramberg Hospital, which has been shut down in the meantime, but it is also, and as expected, some initially negative contributions from Helmstedt and from Rottweil. If we strip that out, then the margin of the pre-existing portfolio is 10.6%, and even 50 basis points higher. So, as every year on this occasion, this is the Helios restructuring plan. And again, as every year on this occasion, we're going to work through this together from right to left. Let's start in the total column, and let's just compare the total reported EBITDA of 336 to the target EBITDA of 325. So you can tick the box, mission accomplished. If we then move one column to the left and look at the mature portfolio of hospitals that have been with us for more than 5 years, then you can see that the EBITDA margin of 16.9% has further increased quite substantially, because last year at that time we were at 15.8. Also, at the bottom, if you compare the ratio of 15 hospitals that made the target to 10 that haven't, that has slightly, at least, improved. Last year it was 14 to 11, so further progress. What remains as a fact, though, is that in particular within that mature hospital portfolio, the smaller hospitals find it difficult to make the target. And we believe that really only as part of a larger group they have a more than fair chance of survival. If we move over to the five-year column, then as you can see, there we have a ratio of three hospitals that made it and four that haven't. They're going to be in the mature cluster in 2012. And the expectation as well as the aspiration is that in aggregate, we're going to have more than 20 hospitals that are going to make the 15% target in 2012. Cluster 4, that is dominated by Griffeld, which stands for about three-quarters of that particular cluster. And as you can see there, further progress, further margin improvements by 2.5 points, and further absolute EBITDA increase by approximately 8 million. Cluster 3, there we're not entirely happy yet. I think the 3-to-3 ratio isn't particularly pleasing. But on the other hand, we're confident that we can improve this over the course of 2012. The two-year cluster is blank, no privatization activity during that particular year. The one-year cluster, that there sits Helmstedt. And as I just alluded to, an initially negative EBITDA contribution, very much in line with our expectations. And moving Helmstedt into the two-year cluster this year, facing a 6% EBITDA margin target, we're pretty confident that they're going to make that. The intra-year, that is Rottweil, given that Schramberg has been closed in the meantime. Also there you see initially a negative contribution, very much in line with our expectations. The entire project very much on track. Going forward into 2012, given that we have closed Duisburg at the back end of 2011, Duisburg is going to fall into the one-year category because we have had management responsibility for the entire 2012, whereas DAMP going forward will be allocated the individual, we will allocate the individual DAMP hospitals to the respective years of their privatization. That overall is going to make meeting the restructuring plan a bit more challenging, but I'm still very confident that we're going to make that we're going to get that done over the course of 2012. Duisburg and DAMP will lead to a bit of a margin dilution over the course of this year, as you would expect, and as we also flagged at the time of the acquisition announcement. This is not going to be very meaningful. It's going to be less than 1 point. You got the worst behind you. Now it's over to Vamed, and I'll be very brief because Mark made all the necessary statements already. 3% growth with a strong finish to the year. Quite a relief after after a nail-biting quarter. And a very strong EBIT performance, 8.6% in the single quarter as a margin, leading to over proportionate EBIT growth for the full year. Very reassuring to see that we also had a very strong order intake in the last quarter, leading to yet again a massive order backlog that we can build on in the coming years. So much for the segment P&Ls, and here we go. Now over to cash flow. One of my highlights, if you remember, the 10.2% operating cash flow margin that you see at the bottom of the page. And that, given that we were disciplined with our CapEx spending, bottom right corner, a free cash flow of 5.6%. That is very much where we'd like to be, where we think we ought to be, into the low double digits as far as the operating cash flow margin is concerned, above 5% as far as free cash flow is concerned. Very pleasing Q4 performance as far as cash flow margin is concerned at Kabi, somewhat below the record Q4 of 2011 for all the good reasons that I mentioned on earlier occasions. Helios in Q4 with a cash flow margin of 11.6%. That's really very reassuring also for 2012, leading to 11% for the full year. What really stands out in this operating cash flow margin column is Vamed, where you can see minus 11% margin, really dragging down the group average, in particular dragging down the average for the group excluding FMC. There we have some phasing issues, you may have heard us talk about that before. We had quite substantial prepayments in 2010, boosting cash flow. We were utilizing those prepayments over the course of 2011, and not only those prepayments, but more than that, for the, in particular, the public-private partnership projects, PPPP, that we are currently pursuing. And in 2012, it's going to be payback time. In 2012, we're going to get our cash back. And therefore, the way you ought to look at this, from my perspective, is over an aggregate three-year time frame. And over that three-year time frame, stripping out the phasing differences, this business is very nicely cash positive. Not the least because of that, we really love it. If we move over the page to the free cash flow margin, then one additional point I wanted to make to the Helios margin. There, again, the 5.2% is understated because you will recall that Helios pays for its privatization projects with CapEx commitments. So it is quasi-purchase price and therefore utilization of free cash flow. If we strip out the 50 million euros, and you find that in the footnote, who strip out the 50 million that relate to privatization projects, then the 5.2% free cash flow margin actually goes to 7.1 and is pretty much at a par with Kabi and with FMC. So I think that is also very important if you judge and value our Helios business. Now, before I move over to the guidance, a quick word on debt and leverage. And there, just to say, notwithstanding the strong cash flow development that we had, net debt moved up. We are now at 9.1 billion euros of net debt. The increase is in reality smaller than it appears because we had a bit of an inflationary effect from the stronger dollar at the end of 2011. And therefore, if you adjust and calculate net debt EBITDA at identical FX rates, net debt EBITDA is at 2.7 times. Now, I was talking about acquisitions that we have already announced and that are about to close. Again, notwithstanding those substantial amounts for Liberty, for Damp, we expect to be below or at 3 times net debt EBITDA at year-end 2012. Mind you, year-end, we may have, in particular at Q1, a leverage number that slightly exceeds the 3 times over the course of the year with a full EBITDA contribution from those acquisition targets, we would expect to be back into our target corridor. Let me also use this point in time to update you on where we stand with our program to acquire Fresenius Medical Care shares. We announced that at the back end of last year, by the 31st of December, we had acquired 1.4 million shares, and as of today, we're virtually complete, only a few shares missing to get to the 3.5 million target. That is, again, something that you will have to reflect in your models as far as net debt is concerned and also as far as magnitude of the minorities is concerned. Now, over to guidance for 2012, and let me start with Fresenius Kabi. Top-line growth, organic, that is expected in a range of 4 to 6%, and that pretty much resembles the approximately 5% that we had guided you to last year at this point. The underlying regional assumptions would be that we continue to grow mid-single digits, pretty much the same pace as 2011 in Europe, mid-teens in the emerging markets, and I wouldn't expect growth in North America for all the reasons that I mentioned. To be more precise, what is underlying this assumption is a further normalization of the drug shortage situation with no new incidents leading to drug shortages. That may be a conservative assumption. On the other hand, I don't think we have a choice but to work off this assumption. We assume that we're going to see an increased number of competitors in individual products, so in particular in gemcitabine, but also in heparin. Relative to where we were at the end of 2011 with our propofol market share, we would assume that that is a stable situation going forward. We do expect a normal run rate of product launches, but we have not factored in any special situation like gemcitabine in 2011, for instance, into this 2012 guidance. And lastly, I also want to give you an update on the planned introduction of Kabi heritage products into North America, and there we really only do see a ramp up in the second half of 2012. That's the underlying assumption, and therefore while we stick to our original 2013 guidance, the contribution that we have factored in for 2012 is not very meaningful. If you take all that together, then you're going to get to the 4 to 6% that we have, that we are guiding to here. That is slightly below the 7 to 10% medium-term range that we'd like to reconfirm. But look at the three-year CAGR, 8 to 9%. That is what we're focused on. I think I gave you some hints for the EBIT margin already. If you combine that with what I told you about the relative growth levels, then you should be able to get to the 19.5% to 20% EBIT margin in total. Fresenius Helios, 3 to 5% organic growth, a repeat from the previous years. We feel good about that, no reason to change that given the track record. For EBIT, coming from the 270 million for the existing portfolio, I do expect, remember what I said about the restructuring plan, a bit of a margin dilution, but an absolute growth, pretty much in line with what we've seen also in 2011. What you need to then add on top is the initial EBIT contribution from DAMP, and there isn't much of a positive EBIT contribution from Duisburg, rather the opposite. But the net effect, that should get you to the range of 310 to 320 million. And Mark gave you the background to the midterm guidance that we felt compelled to increase. After a normalization in 2011, we pretty much expect a normal year for Vamed, normalization at the back end of 11. We pretty much expect a normal year for Vamed in 2012, and therefore specific guidance in line with the medium-term guidance of 5 to 10%. But look at the CAGR over the three-year period. There really we're tracking more towards the upper end of that target corridor. Biotech, minus 30 million in 2010. We are committed to getting you a sequential improvement of that situation, and therefore the guidance is below that, 25 to 30 million euros. Mike, in his presentation, is going to guide you to fairly meaningful growth rates for sales at Fresenius Medical Care. And therefore, if you add that to what I have told you for the other segments, then you will reach an aggregate level of 10 to 13% at constant currency. There is one accounting change that needs to be pointed out. Mike's going to give you all the details about this. In short form only, we need to adjust the 2011 actual by approximately 160 million euros because the bad debt is differently recognized going forward. We wanted to get you growth rates that are comparing apples with apples with previous years. That's why we've chosen to adjust the 2011 base. So be careful when you calculate your growth rates. It will not come off the reported sales number for 2011, but off that adjusted number. And again, Mike's going to give you the accounting change only relates to FMC North America, which is why I leave that to Mike. Out of that 10 to 13% growth, it is organic growth in the mid-single digits. And the balance is going to be the acquisition impact that we do expect from the first-time consolidation of Liberty and from Damp and from Duisburg, you name it. It's also the annualization of the first-time consolidations that we saw in 2011. So American Access Care, Euromedic, that make a full-year contribution relative to only a part-year contribution last year. I think I gave you a good sense about EBIT, also interest, tax rate, and therefore if we move on to net income growth for the group, there we do expect a corridor of 8 to 11%. Now, you may ask yourself, why is earnings growth slower than top-line growth? It is by no means an indication that the acquisitions are dilutive. It is rather the opposite, in particular as far as Liberty is concerned. Duisburg clearly is going to be dilutive in the first year, just as pretty much any hospital privatization, and we do expect a positive contribution from DAMP at the latest in 2013. But it is just that the new acquisitions contribute over proportionately to the top line, but also over proportionately make use of the interest expense. And therefore, while there is a positive earnings contribution, it then still leads to a slowdown in the overall earnings growth. It is particularly pronounced with the Liberty acquisition at Fresenius Medical Care. And what you also need to bear in mind when you look at the 8 to 11% is that we have quite a meaningful effect from the maturity of the mandatory exchangeable bond in 2011. You know that the maturity itself was a dilutive fact. The minorities that we the share in FMC net income that we lost exceeded the interest expense that we paid for the exchangeable bond. So if we adjust for that, and if you really want to look at the earnings growth in the underlying business, then you can easily add 3 percentage points of growth to that target corridor. Some of you may find higher numbers in their respective models. Let me just point out that this is a constant currency guidance. And where we do stand in the current foreign exchange environment, that is going to lead to another 3 percentage points of growth as far as reported net income is concerned. I think that was really a lot of detail. Let me conclude with one statement, and that relates to phasing. Nothing overly exciting over the course of 2012, but do bear in mind that given the late closing of Liberty in this quarter and Dump closing either this quarter or early next, we're going to fall short of the revenue guidance corridor in the first quarter, but that should then correct itself over the course of the year. I just want to avoid any bad surprise. A lot of detail that I bombarded you with. Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions, and we'll also try to answer them. But let me, before we do that, let me just reiterate that we're very happy with the 2011 performance, and that, again, we enter 2012 full of confidence. Thank you very much.
So, well, let's take the questions from the audience in the room first.
Do I have to? Yeah, okay. Hi. Ulrich Hubert, Warburg Research. Two questions, if I may. Given your guidance for tax rate at a group's level, I am right that Kabi tax rate may decrease further due to the reduced stake of the U.S. contribution. First question. Second, can you say some word regarding the minorities at the Kabi's level, please?
You are right. The underlying expectation is that we're going to see a bit of a decrease in Kabi's tax rate. However, what I didn't point out beforehand is that the combination of the growth guidance and the margin guidance is still going to lead to an absolute earnings, absolute EBIT increase. And in particular, if you then look at the currency effect, I am not so sure whether really the key driver of that decrease is going to come from North America. It's much rather that we do expect further tax optimization projects and also a few one-timers that are going to lead to a gradual decrease. Ulrich, I'm not sure I got your second question. Minorities at Kabi?
Yes. The development in 2012 will be either at the same level or some decrease. What could we expect?
The minorities at Kabi primarily relate to Kabi's Chinese business. Given that, as I pointed out, growth in this part of the world is going to be above the average, I think it's prudent to assume a slightly higher minority share at Fresenius Kabi.
Chris.
It's Chris Quedler at Credit Suisse. I have three questions, essentially. First of all, could you elaborate, you know, whether, first of all, on your targets, midterm targets for Vamed, you know, this 1 billion in 2014? I mean, given, you know, your midterm, you know, growth expectation, you know, it's pretty difficult to achieve. Secondly, you know, whether your guidance for, or basically what you tried to hint us to before, for Kabi, also North America, etc., whether that includes now a return of the market by APP for oxaliplatin. And the third question, I haven't put this down, I'll come back to that.
I would suggest that Stefan can address the Vamed question. Let me just say on oxaliplatin, this includes all the products that we're free and able to sell in the U.S. in 2012. And as per the arrangement that was made in 2010 for the back half, for part of the back half, that also includes oxaliplatin. But keep in mind, this is going to be one more generic out of more than 100 products. And the real story in oxaliplatin, that's way over. That was the first half of 2010. At that time, it was exciting. Now it's one more generic out of many. So I just want to caution you that you don't overestimate the impact that this will have.
Chris, you're right. Coming from 737 million back end of 2011, getting to a billion, implies compound annual growth more towards the upper end of that 5 to 10% target corridor that we're guiding you to. The 5 to 10 means that there could easily be fluctuations in any given year. It also is meant to take care of, in particular, outliers in one year, like 2009 and 10 were, leading to a somewhat lower growth in 2011, notwithstanding that. As on a compounded basis, we do believe that that is achievable, and we still stick by the 1 billion. We see quite good prospects around the world. The order book is very nice, has developed very nicely, and therefore I do believe that it's justified confidence in that 1 billion euro number.
Okay, and in the meantime, now I got, you know, my third question on your tax rate. Just to clarify, I think I put down, you know, 30% for 2012. Is this also now what we should, you know, pencil in, you know, midterm now?
I know that I had guided you to a somewhat higher number in the past. I think we have made some progress in the meantime. There were also some mixed changes. As I mentioned, there are going to be a few one-timers in 2012, so I'd caution you to go below 30% in the midterm.
Okay, clear. Thanks.
Further questions? Oliver.
Hello, Oliver Klemmer, West Derby. I would have two or three. First complex would be regarding regard to Fresenius Kabi. You're noticing and outlining the growth markets, emerging markets. If I'm looking at the typical four letters like BRIC, I mean, China is one of the markets within that, but probably you might want to give us an update where we stand probably with the others in terms of market penetration and, I mean, growth going forward. Secondly, I guess there's still no appetite from your side in venturing into biosimilars like some of your peers do, and enhancingly, I think the market does. And probably lastly, on the sequential improvement with regard to biotech, probably what must go wrong that you reach the upper end of the minus 30 million, so not delivering a sequential improvement in 2012 for biotech, or i.e. are there any strategic options probably which might lead to cutting the loss at all going forward? Thanks.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Let me first address the question referring to Kabi and the BRIC markets. I think it is noteworthy that for three out of these four markets, Kabi does enjoy a very strong presence. I think China we talked about many times. That's a real big market for us. But when it comes to Brazil, that's a market where Kabi actually started up even earlier than in China. So we started in China in 1982. In Brazil, we started in 1977. And we're one of the leading infusion therapy providers in that market, and around that door opener, which is infusion therapies, we really then, one after another, basically rolled out the rest of the Kabi portfolio, and we are also active in compounding activities in the Brazilian market, which again gives us very close ties to Brazilian hospitals that need individually compounded products. So Brazil for South America is clearly our largest market. We're having local manufacturing there, local management team out of Sao Paulo is very proud of the market presence we have there. Market shares vary depending on the product group inside Kabi that you look at, but overall we're one of the leading providers in the segments that Kabi serves. When it comes to India, we've been there also with local manufacturing for a long time, but as you recall, our Dabur acquisition really gave us two benefits. One is it made us a more successful, higher-performing API manufacturer for chemotherapy drugs. But the second one is it also came with a local market presence for IV drugs in India. And, of course, we were able to combine the legacy Kabi business and the Dabur IV drug business in India and build on that going forward. So I guess in India, well, you know, you have several leading local suppliers, and it's kind of hard to call out where exactly we stand. I would still count us as one of the leading suppliers for the heritage Kabi products and also for IV drugs. So I think for those three, we really enjoy a strong Kabi presence in these important future markets. When it comes to Russia, we've taken traditionally a rather cautious stance So most of our Russian business is basically imports from neighboring markets, and we're still trying to figure out how best to set up manufacturing there going forward and improve our presence in that market. So I guess 3 out of 4, we're doing very well. Russia, we are having some business there, we're having some presence there, but not yet including local manufacturing. On biosimilars, you're right. We're still trying to chart the best course going forward. I think there's some movement. FDA, I think, has put out seeking opinions on their regulatory pathway for biosimilars. I think this is the one important missing piece right now to give you the full picture. I think EMA has basically put out their pathway, and now I believe it's called the 351K. That's the new FDA pathway that they're outlining. And that one still, I guess, is a few quarters away from being more specific. Right now it's only the comment period. And with that, you pretty much then have almost a global picture when it comes to the most advanced markets for what it takes to get biosimilar products approved going forward. Keep in mind, while we're in the patent cliff for lots of small molecule drugs, the most exciting period for biosimilars is after 2015. So while all of this will take some lead time, I think there's still time to look at this, chart a good strategy, and then put it in place. As always, when it comes to major investments, maybe being first is not as important as being right, and so we want to do the right thing. Lastly, on biotech, we've given ourselves a little bit of latitude here with a 25 to 30 million negative EBIT guidance. Some of that depends on sales performance, clearly. Let me point out for 2011 that we've seen 20% sales growth to 31 million euros. Again, we're talking small numbers here. I appreciate that. But nonetheless, it's been double-digit growth in both antibodies that biotech has out in the market. Going forward and looking at 2012, it's somewhat less important for us whether the final result is going to be negative 28 million or negative 25 million. What is important is that on a midterm basis, we're seeing a path to profitability, and that also what's important is to look at some of the underlying clinical data and some of the underlying science and to basically determine, can this grow organically into a fifth business segment or not over time? If we believe it has what it takes to do that, then I think it makes sense in everyone's interest to hold on to this and ride this bull and basically develop it into that fifth business segment. If we believe that that's hard to accomplish and that the business may be in better hands with someone else who's focused on niche products, then we need to draw the conclusions over time. I think we've said frequently that 2011 and 2012 are going to be decisive years. We're now in 2012. I would like to confirm that I think 2012 is going to be decisive and that sometime later this year we'll have sort of a good strategy and the backup data for you so that you have clarity going forward where biotech is headed.
Operator, can you now please open up the lines for the questions on the phone?
Thank you, Mrs. Grund. As a reminder for those in the teleconference, press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We will take the first question from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Veronika Dubajova here from Goldman Sachs. Three questions, if I can. First, on Kabi, and this is a two-part question. I was wondering if you could give us a sense, when you think about your IV drugs growth, how that breaks down between price and volume and any potential mixed contribution that you're seeing. And then a reminder where you are in terms of capacity utilization at your FDA-approved plants. And I believe you have previously planned for a new plant to come on stream in 2013, whether you're still on target for that. My second question is about Helios. Can you give us a sense of what type of wage inflation figures you're looking at for 2012? And if you have any sort of longer-term comments, how that might develop beyond that. And lastly, Mark, I'm going to push you a little on the biotech number. I mean, maybe you can give us a sense of what you need to see for you to believe that that business is on path towards profitability. And you know, what kind of scenarios are you working with as you're making this decision strategically, whether to stick with it or not? Thank you.
Thanks, Veronica. Let me try and address the first one or the third one, and then maybe after that, if you could repeat the second one so that Stefan and I can decide how best to handle that. So let me take a crack at the first one. I think when it comes to capacity utilization, in North America in particular, what's important is that while we were able to alleviate some of these shortages in 10 and 11, and we continue to do so for some critical products, we are limited as well when it comes to additional capacity, because getting new capacity on stream does take time and does take certification activity. And so we expect to expand capacity going forward. There's no question about that. But short term, we are constrained as well. And the reason I point that out is that when you read news about someone else developing manufacturing issues, don't assume automatically that one for one, we're there to pick it up, okay? Because we are already scrambling to basically meet demand that's building up in the U.S. market. We're doing our best to meet even further demand, but again, short-term options are limited, and hence it's important not to be too optimistic here. On price and volume, I think I have no specific news for you when it comes to IV drugs. You see the usual slight price erosion, sort of single-digit percentage points for older products, unless you have a special situation. And a special situation could be, for example, a shortage. And then typically products are the most profitable right after patent expiration, sort of for the first 6 to 12 months. But so no change in that picture. And then going forward, I think the volume development is probably continuing to look good and maybe turning even better after 2013, 2014, if the essential pieces of healthcare legislation in the U.S. market stay in place. Because that would mean improved access to healthcare, and hence this will drive demand for basic products and injectable drugs. And then for, as Stefan had mentioned, for the Kabi legacy products in the U.S., yes, we are confirming that 2013 revenue guidance that we expect 50 to 70 million euros of Kabi-related sales from the U.S. market. On biotech, I guess not too much to add to what I said to the previous question. It's a mix between the sales development we're seeing, where we're pedaling hard to actually continue with our double-digit growth, and then some of the underlying clinical results and the science that will really point the way when it comes to future growth. See, there's one thing, and that is to get the business profitable, which I think, you know, that in itself, given a bit of time, is totally achievable. The second thing is, you know, is it profitable and will it get to a meaningful size for us? Because at the end of the day, we're not a niche product manufacturer. We're someone that needs a certain size so that we can put a management structure in place that takes care of this, and it's not a hobby for some executives on the side. And so both of these questions need to be answered in the affirmative. We can get this product range profitable over time. The more important question is in the science, and that is, does it grow to a meaningful size over time? And again, we'll have some news later for you on that in this year, but not quite yet.
Veronica, if I understood your second question correctly, then you were asking about our assumptions for wage inflation at Helios?
Correct.
If that's correct, then I'm asking for your sympathy, but ahead of going into a negotiation round, I don't think it would be prudent to publicly communicate my expectations. But let me try and be constructive by making two comments. One is I'd be surprised if there was a meaningful change from the pattern that we've seen in the past. And second comment would be the underlying assumption is that wage inflation is going to be higher than the DRG inflator. And frankly, as far as market consolidation is concerned, that's actually good news, because we are in a situation to drive efficiencies at hospitals that we do own, and therefore we do expect that we are in a substantially better position to offset that widening gap than many of our competitors. I hope that was helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Martin Bruninger, Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have three questions. First is on the group guidance. So when you're backing out the adjusted FMC profit guidance, it seems more or less you expect the rest of the business profits to grow by mid-teens in 2012. You also expect no margin expansion for Kabi in 2012 and only 4 to 6% organic sales growth. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect. Maybe you can explain what your thinking is behind that. The second question is on North America. So in Q3, you have declined in North America Kabi 17%, and in Q4, you have grown 1 to 2% organically. Despite your difficult comps, maybe you can explain what changed and what you have seen, what products you have seen growing. We know that propofol and heparin, they have declined in absolute terms in Q4. So it would be great if you can shed some light on the details of Kabi North America in Q4. And then the third question is on Helios. Your cash flow for Helios in Q4 came down significantly. You've explained some parts of it already, but maybe you can give us an outlook what you explain in terms of cash flows for Helios going forward in 2012, and also maybe you can comment on the quality of the deals as well, because there's no doubt that these deals are going to be more expensive. We've seen these deals in 2011 to be much more expensive than in the past, and I wonder what your return of investments requirements are for these deals going forward. Thanks.
Your first question about the earnings and revenue guidance. As I alluded to, if we strip out, in particular, the Liberty acquisition, but also if we strip out Damp and Duisburg, then for the rest of the group, earnings guidance and revenue guidance are going to be much more in parallel, and that gap is going to disappear. What I then alluded to was the effect of the mandatory exchangeable bond, or its maturity, or rather. And I said that I feel that you can add approximately 3 points to that. So, if you do that, then actually you're going to get into the mid-teens. But I fail to see a disconnect there. And while we're at this, the Helios cash flow margin in the fourth quarter actually had a positive development. We were at 11.6% in Q4, and that is ahead of the full year margin. Going forward, I don't want to be pinpointed to something that is too close, but I do feel comfortable also going forward with a double-digit operating cash flow margin for Fresenius Helios. And your third question, could you repeat that, please, Martin?
Yeah, just on Kabi North America. We have seen in Q3 North America a decline of 17%, and I think that was expected because of the difficult comps and your one-off gains on propofol and the story in 2010. Now, in Q4 2011, you have grown despite the difficult comps 1 to 2%, it seems. Maybe you can shed some light where you've seen this growth and what kind of products are, because you still have lost some, in absolute terms, some sales in propofol and on heparin. So where did this growth come from, despite difficult comps in North America Q4?
Martin, let me take a crack at this. I think the story here is not so much a 2011 story. The story is a 2010 story, in that you had a bumper Q3 in 2010, and hence Q3 in 2011 had this extremely hard comparable. Then things started to ramp down in Q4. Remember, this is where the sole supply situation in propofol ended, and hence it was easier to eke out positive growth rates against that Q4 2010 in that same quarter in 2011. So again, there's no particular movement here when it comes to Q3 and Q4 sequentially in the back half of 2011. It's good business, but I think the story lies in those preceding quarters in 2010.
Okay, but still in absolute terms, you have almost the same levels of propofol sales in Q4 compared to Q3, at least according to IMS data. You may correct me, but it doesn't seem a big difference between Q3 and Q4 in absolute terms, according to IMS again.
Martin, organically, Q4 2011 over Q4 2010, Kabi North America was flat.
Yeah.
So maybe what you're looking at is a currency effect, but organic growth was pretty much flat. And I think we had an ongoing, slight, gradual loss of market share at propofol. You had the ongoing effect of a normalization of the gemcitabine situation, as I alluded to. But on the other hand, you had a few other shortage situations in the market that we were able to capitalize on. And those two effects pretty much offset each other.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. In light of time, we close the Q&A section. And, we start at 3:15 with the Fresenius Medical Care presentations. Thank you for now. And for those who are on the phone, please redial at 3:15. Thanks.